to our season two finale of our Bad Movies Rewatch. It's Friday, everybody. Happy Friday.
Yeah.
Friday. Super Bowl Sunday weekend. Yay.
True.
Super Bowl Sunday. Happy Valentine's Day.
Right?
Happy birthday.
The rain stopped.
That's true. Our wonderful podcast leader, Kelly Anthony, is she is turning, well, a certain number that you're not supposed to say. That was close.
Hey, we can say I'll be 32 very soon. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Oh, is that a bad luck number?
No, I don't think
that we
so.
Can't say. Okay.
Just some women, you know how women are.
Mm-hmm. Watch it.
Yeah, maybe stop right there.
Reverse.
All right. Well, we're here to do a recap on our Bad Movies Rewatch, and we're going to crown the best of the worst today. But before we see who's here, a couple of things. First of all, follow us on social media at Friday Flicks Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And email us at jkentertainment247@gmail.com and let us know how much you enjoyed our bad movies. I do want to make a quick shout out to FeedSpot for putting us down as number 29 out of the top 60 Friday podcasts.
Yeah, FeedSpot.
Wow. We're on a list, you guys.
Yeah, we're on rank, you guys. That's awesome.
I know. It means someone's listening to us out there. That's cool. I just got an email from our host site who hosts our podcast so people can listen to us that we've hit a total of 2,500 downloads, which isn't a lot in the grand scheme of podcasts probably, but for us that seems like a lot. So, yeah. You know, thanks guys.
Thank you for downloading. Keep on downloading.
Yeah. And honestly, we're getting better. And I think that the topics we cover are interesting. So, yeah, go us.
We're so excited about next season, by the way. I am so excited about
it. Okay. We're ironing out our process. We're developing our characters.
Yeah, man.
Stay tuned to the end for the season three announcement.
Let's see who's here today with us to wrap up our bad movies. Byron Anthony is here. What's up, Byron?
Yo, what's going on? Good to be here. I know we don't do characters, but I am going to do a character. I'm going to do Shao Kahn. That's all I got. That's just
Kahn.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, it doesn't matter what it
is. Cynthia Anthony is here. What's up, Cynthia?
Ice to see you.
Yeah, that's good.
That's from I from Batman and Robin, and I'll talk more about that later. But hi, everybody. I really love the opportunity to do this with all of you guys that bring so much to the table. It's all the different perspectives and memories of the movies or non-memories and seeing it for the first time that, you know, makes us interesting and gives us all a voice. And, you know, hats off to you, Kelly, for keeping us going, organizing us, you know, doing the hard work of recording and editing and posting. And there's probably things I don't even know that you're doing. So,
yeah.
And I'm loving it.
You're going to do a fun hobby for me. I like it. Daniel McCarley is here. How's it going, Daniel?
I am ready to do this. We got a list episode going. I'm super excited.
Yeah, man.
Oh, we're doing characters? Okay.
If you want to, you don't have to.
They're eating her. Then they're gonna eat me. Oh my god.
Nice. Took it from me.
But you gotta at least cite the movie that came from, Daniel, for people that don't know what you're talking about.
If you haven't been following us all season, that is from Troll 2, one of many movies that we're gonna be recapping. Not recapping, but reminding you of here.
Yeah.
Jimmy Anthony is here. How's it going, Jimmy?
Hi, Ducky.
Okay.
Another worst thing.
So happy to be here. I'll echo everything my mother, Cynthia, said, and just thank you, Kelly, for making this happen. You know, I complained a lot watching all these crappy movies, but I'm excited to talk about all of them. It's been, like, I had to come around full circle and be like, actually, this season was fun as hell, watching all these terrible movies and trash-talking them, so, yeah, loving it. Excited.
And I'm your host, Kelly Anthony, and I just want to say, hanging out with my family, having a fun time.
Woo! All right.
And you're singing from which movie?
That's from Birdemic.
So you missed that.
Yeah, you guys didn't do that one. For worse, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, so here we are, ready to recap the 10 bad movies that we chose to watch for this season. First up, Daniel's going to just kind of do a quick breakdown of all the Razzies awards that these movies have won, and maybe and some like box office list. And so we know like what movies actually made the most money, I thought would be interesting. So take it away, Daniel.
Okay. So yeah, let's do this as a way of reviewing all the movies we've covered. I'll do them chronologically first to talk about the Razzies, and then we'll get to the box office. Since I got this ready to go, let me apologize first. I didn't apologize, but I think this season was my fault. There was one movie I wanted to do. I suggested kind of as a joke, and Kelly jumped at it, and I will take responsibility for everyone having to sit through all of these movies. First. Okay. So the oldest movie, the two oldest ones that we did, Plan 9 from Outer Space, directed by Ed Wood, from 57 or 59, and then Santa Claus Conquers the Martians from 1964. Those were before the Razzies existed, so they don't count. Then we have Howard the Duck. Maybe that would be a better movie. From 1986. That was nominated for a bunch of Razzies, indicating that its failure was famous at the time. Was nominated for Worst Picture, Worst Director, Tim Robbins for Worst Supporting Actor, Worst Screenplay, Worst New Star for the Duck Costume, Worst Song. I don't actually agree with that.
No.
And Worst Visual Effects. Yeah, it should not have been nominated for Worst Song. It's definitely better than at least a couple tracks on the Top Gun soundtrack. then we have Troll 2, which was shot and set for release in 89, but released in 1990. And that was, I think, a direct-to-video release. And so it like didn't qualify or just didn't have enough of a profile for the Razzies. And then we have like four movies that we covered from that all came out within a year. We got Anaconda from April of 97 and Batman and Robin from June of 97. And they were nominated for a ton of Razzies too. Anaconda for Worst Picture, Worst Director, Worst Actor John Voight, and Worst Couple John Voight for The Snake, Worst New Star for The Snake, and Worst Screenplay. Then Batman and Robin, which was the first film we covered, and that set records with 11 Razzie nominations for Worst Picture, Worst Director Joel Schumacher, Worst Supporting Actor, both Chris O'Donnell and Arnold Schwarzenegger for Worst Supporting Actor, both Alicia Silverstone and Uma Thurman for Worst Supporting Actress. I don't know that I agree with all of those.
Yeah.
Worst Couple for George Clooney and Chris O'Donnell. Worst Screenplay, Worst Song, which I don't even remember. Worst Remake or Sequel, and Worst Reckless Disregard for Human Life and Property, which is an award I think they do every year. Yeah. Then Thanksgiving of 97, Mortal Kombat Annihilation comes out. That didn't get any Razzie nominations. How many of
these came out from 97? That's funny.
Yeah. And then Spice World, which came out in Europe for Christmas of 97, but January of 98 in the U.S. And that got a bunch of Razzie nominations the next year.
About 1997.
Yeah, I had mentioned that before.
And the worst of times. Yeah. Find it.
Let's see. Yeah, so Spice World got was nominated for Worst Picture, Worst Actress for all of the Spice Girls, Worst Supporting Actor for Roger Moore, Worst Couple for like any two people,
yeah,
or fashion accessories or something like that. This is a double word.
That was a stupid
thing. The Razzies are dumb. I don't want to spend this much time talking about the Razzies. I'll run through this. Worst New Star and Too Much was nominated for Worst Original Song.
Which is so stupid because that's a great song.
I think it's aged well, like a fine wine. You know?
Yeah, it's a great song. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Anyways.
Okay. Then the final two movies from this century that we covered, The Wicker Man, which got a bunch of nominations for Worst Picture, Worst Actor, Nicolas Cage, Worst Couple, Worst Remake or Sequel, and Worst Screenplay. And then the final movie from 2010 was Birdemic, Shock and Terror, which didn't have a real traditional release, so I guess it didn't qualify for the Razzies because it had some kind of a premiere in Los Angeles and then immediately went on a tour of midnight screenings, so that doesn't have any reported box office either. And those are the movies we covered.
Wow. I don't know. That's beyond wow.
We watched all
And to me, it just confirms it's not just our idea that these are very bad movies. I mean, whoever the authorities are. That's an interesting question, Daniel. If you know, who votes for the Razzies? Is it film critics? You know how the Academy Awards Academy itself?
No, it's like a different organization of some kind.
A group of like five guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not critics or like serious people. It's like a comedy group.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But in this case, they're pretty right on. These are very bad, good, bad movies. Yeah.
A lot of the movies that have been nominated for Razzies have been like largely forgotten about. So I was looking at some of them, but these movies transcended.
Yeah, because these all turned into like cult classics, you know? Like for the most part, which is why we're still talking about them.
So bad they're good, or at least so bad they're fun, or so bad they're funny, you know, yeah.
Did you do like a box office breakdown of these, Daniel?
Yes, I did.
All right, you want to go through?
So I'll go through these. So there's there's like four that don't really have box office reporting. Like I said, Troll 2 and Birdemic didn't have the same kind of proper release, so there isn't really an official reported box office for either of those. Believe me, I looked. There's some archive somewhere with information, but and then the old ones for Plan 9 and Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, we don't have official receipts either. But we know that Plan 9 did not make back its $60,000 budget, and Santa Claus Conquers the Martians made, some estimates say, maybe $200,000. But then of the ones that do have a proper release, Howard the Duck was the lowest, which is also the oldest. It made $16 million in the U.S. and $38 million worldwide, which adjusted for inflation would be actually more like $45, $50 million today. But that still lost a lot of money. Then The Wicker Man actually only made $23.7 million, which is pretty low. I guess that was a bomb that came out in September. Spice World made $29 million, so that did a little better. Mortal Kombat Annihilation, $36 million. Anaconda made $65 million, and then $137 million international. That was a hit. And then Batman and Robin made $107 million in the U.S. and $238 million worldwide. So that was, even though that was way lower than the last Batman movies and considered a disappointment, it still was a summer moneymaker.
Yeah.
That was definitely the biggest. Yeah.
So like, it's no surprise that made the most money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's big. Yeah. It's Batman.
Yeah. So. Makes sense.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Daniel, for kind of recapping that for us. So we're going to, not as many categories as our Pixar finale, because Pixar, we like had fun things to talk about with that, whereas these, it's mostly just what, how do you feel about all the movies? But I did have a couple of questions for you guys to answer. So the first thing we're going to talk about is all these funny songs that kind of came out of these bad movies. I think there was a couple movies where I couldn't really get a song from it. Which one was it? Plan 9, there was no real...
They all have soundtracks.
Yeah,
but a lot of them actually had have songs
like that were funny.
Songs.
Oh, yeah. The Wicker Man, I didn't get a song for. And Anaconda, I couldn't really... There wasn't really a song I found. But these were the song... And unless I forgot one, Daniel, was there a song from Anaconda?
No, I don't think so.
I didn't think so. Or The Wicker Man. Those just had like scary soundtracks, I guess.
The Wicker Man has the... They don't do a ritual chant at the end. There's no... The Wicker Man. There's no recording of that.
We didn't really talk about that.
A really good song in the original.
The original Wicker Man has some really cool songs, but we're not talking
about... Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. Oh, my God. Anyways. I gotta watch that again.
Okay. Sorry. Anyways, we're not... about that one. So here are the songs. Most of these were from like the credits. So from Batman and Robin, the song by the Smashing Pumpkins called "The End Is the Beginning Is the End," which I don't know, Daniel, if that's maybe what was nominated for worst song.
Yes, it would have been.
Okay. And then Howard the Duck from Howard the Duck, of course. The Troll 2 theme song music is kind of funny. So yeah, I stuck that on there.
It's kind of recognizable and silly.
Then we've got, of course, the Mortal Kombat theme song. And then this is not from the movie Plan 9, but it's a song from this documentary we watched, which I just thought was so funny. The My Mom is Tor Johnson's Mom song. It's just a silly song.
It's totally absurd. And
then I sang it earlier from Birdemic, hanging out with my family. Having Ourselves a Pot from, I can't remember that guy's name, Damian Carter. I think that was his name. And then Hooray for Santa Claus, from Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. And then I guess any Spice Girl song from Spice World. But I did put Too Much on there.
Too Much, apparently. I mean, it's...
I didn't realize that was nominated for a worst song. So I guess we'll go with Too Much. Yeah. It is what opens the movie anyways.
Right.
So we're going to just go around and say, what was your favorite silly song? Or you can also rank them if you want. So Byron, I'm going to start with you. I know you didn't see all of the movies, but of these songs, which one did you enjoy the most?
Okay. So I know this is a matter of opinion, but my opinion is correct. No matter what anyone else says in this podcast, these are the best songs that, that we heard this season. The three slot goes to all of the Spice Girls songs. And don't get me wrong, as songs, they are probably the best, right, but they're stuck in this movie, okay? Mm-hmm. And also, they weren't generated specifically for the feature film that they were featured in. So the Spice Girls comes in at number three. Number two has to be Hooray for Santa Claus. It's the only one that really sticks out as like a strong jingle in my mind. It's also like a self-contained song that they created for the movie. Didn't see Birdemic, so can't speak to that. But the number one, this is just so obvious, you all. It's the Mortal Kombat theme song. Come on. That's the final stage of the last battle. When that shit comes in, that is like the most lit moment of that movie. So hands down, number one, Mortal Kombat theme song. Let's go.
Nice. I knew you would pick that, at least somewhere.
You have to sing the famous part, Byron.
Mortal!
That's the famous part.
All right, Cynthia, how about you?
Oh, I didn't do a 1, 2, and 3, and I refute your opinion, Byron, that you are the only one with the right answer. I actually put that the best of the worst songs here was "The End Is the Beginning Is the End," because I mean, Smashing Pumpkins, it rocks musically. It's so good. It's so dark and, you know, kind of the forces of evil, if you will. It was like everything Batman and Robin have to contend with in the world, so the lyrics make sense, and it is a fantastic piece of music. Like, I would give it an A. I wish that I'd known about that song, you know, before the movie. And I don't know enough about the Smashing Pumpkins to know if this went on to be one of their more well-known songs, like if they played it at concerts or something. But nonetheless, it sounds
good at the time. Yeah. Huh? They probably did at the time play that song at concerts. But I bet now if they did like a reunion concert, I don't think they would play that song.
No, it was maybe, well, see, so I don't know, because in the context of the movie, though, I liked it. And I was also happy that the end had come. It was over. So the song was a good sign. And then I would have to say, okay, Ryan, you're right about this, that the next best song is the Santa Claus, Hooray for Santa Claus song from, you know, Santa Claus something with the Martians. Conquers the Martians. Yeah. It's kind of adorable.
Yeah.
I think I said this when our podcast reviewed that movie. I don't know how come that did not cross over into the common Christmas carol, you know, genre, because it's good enough to have done that. And then it goes down from there. I mean, I hated so much the Troll 2 song. It sounds like a bad TV theme song. I despise that movie with all of my being that even gives a shit about movies. So I would throw that song into just, you know, terrible. All right, that's enough. That's what I know.
All right. Thank you, Cynthia. All right, Daniel, what do you got for us?
Okay. Well, I will reference what Byron said about the Mortal Kombat theme song. Like, that being qualified, like, is just not fair to all the other ones. Mm. And like, that's great. So I got to give it to them. But you know what? I have to bring out my guilty pleasure for 80s music, and I have to give some love to the Howard the Duck theme song. It was way better than the rest of the movie. Howard the Duck. They call him Howard the Duck. Come on, that song slaps pretty hard.
Her name actually sings.
She actually sang it. Yeah, she took vocal lessons. She actually sings all the songs she sings in that movie. Mm-hmm. Gotta give her some credit for that.
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy, what you got?
I love that we all have different answers, by the way. Love it, love it. I would have picked Mortal Kombat if I didn't feel like that song really belongs to the first movie. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's in the second, and it comes.
It is in it.
It's in it. It's a banger. It slaps. Love it. But I felt like I couldn't pick it. And so I was just like, what would I pick? Like, anyway, this one is guilty of the same crime, but it just stood out to me as like, when I heard it, it kind of got stuck in my head, and I had these very fond feelings for it. Again, though, it wasn't, I don't know, was it originally? Anyway, it's Too Much from Spice World. Too much of something is bad enough, but something's coming over me to make me wonder. Was that written for the movie? I don't know. It was nominated for a Razzie, so I think maybe it was. I think one of those songs was written for the movie, but I was like, I found myself just like, that thing would just like loop in my head. And when it was playing, when we were like settling down on the couch to watch Spice World, that was when it first hooked me. I was like, I'm kind of digging this song right now. And then, well, no spoilers, but the rest of Spice World was surprisingly enjoyable. So, Anyway, so that one just stood out to me when I was making my pick. So I went with that. I didn't know we were doing lists of multiple, but Annihilation's got to be up there. If I get multiple, then that's probably two. But then I go with Howard the Duck as number three. I mean, Howard the Duck, you know, it's a great, catchy, fun little song. There's something about the oddness of Howard the Duck all around that really just, like, I enjoy a lot. So that song being part of that is really fun. So those are my three.
Yeah. So, yeah, I made this very just open-ended, but I guess I can do a top three like Byron did. I think I'm going to agree with Byron, like, number three, to just kind of say Too Much or the Spice Girls songs, because, like, those are sort of so separate from the movie in my life. Like, I've listened to those songs so many times outside of the movie, but, like, they are the best songs, so they have to get some sort of credit here. Number two, I'm going to give to Hanging Out With My Family from Birdemic, because, like, I would actually, I like, that song always just makes me laugh and smile, and I would actually play that at a party as a joke, like, Hanging Out With My Family.
I want to, like,
stop. Yeah, it's a one to, like, see if anyone at the party gets it.
Yeah.
It's, like, one of those. I will put, the thing about that song, I don't know that it's very good. It's just that when you're sitting there watching this movie with raw audio and no sound design, and, like, extended shots of cars pulling out of parking lots set to hold music, and then suddenly halfway through, it's like, oh, here's a real song.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just comes out of nowhere.
Jumps out at you in ways that,
it lasts for a while.
Long time.
You just get to hear a whole song. It's like, oh, this is the nicest, most entertaining thing that's happened.
Yeah, it's the best part of the movie. So it's got to get some credit. So yeah, that's going to be my number two. But my number one, which I don't know if this should even count because it's not even from the movie, but through watching and experiencing this movie, Planet Nine from Outer Space, I discovered this song, My Mom is Tor Johnson's Mom, which I actually think is a good song, and it's weird.
My mom is Tor Johnson's mom.
Silly, but it has this, like, indie rock vibe to it, and I'm just like, I would just put it on playlists, to be honest. Like, I'm gonna keep listening to that song in my life more than all the, well, besides the Spice Girl songs, I'll keep listening to, but more than all these other songs. Howard the Duck is great, but I'm not gonna just put that song on, you know. Really, Hooray for Santa Claus probably should be on our Christmas playlist.
Yeah,
that's
a really good one. Yeah,
anyways, My Mom is Tor Johnson's Mom, like, come on guys, it's a great song.
I'm so glad we all pick different songs. A lot of representation.
Yeah. But it's just great that all these bad movies had all these silly songs for us to talk about, like, you know, as they should, true. I guess. All right. Let's move on to the next topic or question, which is, from watching all these movies, what movie surprised you the most as not being as bad as you thought it was going to be? So you went into watching this movie, you were like, all right, I can't wait to see how terrible this is going to be. But then you were like, oh, wow, I actually enjoyed that quite a lot.
I'll just jump in because I already kind of gave it away. I was surprised how much I liked Spice World. And we all gave it high grades, so that's no surprise.
Yeah.
But no, really, though, like I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the podcast, I kind of have come full circle to being like, actually, it is fun to watch bad movies. Anyway, this movie was just like the perfect, like, cherry or icing on the cake, nice finishing touch on all these terrible movies, because it was bad, but it's, like, absurdist in a way, and, like, irreverent, doesn't take itself seriously at all, and it's just, like, you know, with all these movies we've debated, like, you know, with Plan 9 or even Birdemic, like, did they mean for it to be bad, though? Because, like, how could they have really let that go? Like, come on, like, come on, that had to be, and you're questioning it, and that's kind of an uncomfortable feeling a little bit at times. This movie just goes for it, lets itself be bad, and has fun with it. And just that whole feeling, kind of as a way to wrap up the whole season of bad movies, it really left it was like a nice aftertaste, a nice, like, dessert after the rest of the movie. So that's my choice, Spice World.
All right, Byron, how about you?
Yep, same thing, Spice World. I remember watching it growing up, mostly because Grace loved it so much, my sister who did that podcast. Anyways, I think the main memory I have is like that, like, dumb shot of like the toy bus jumping the toy bridge. Like, that's just burned in my memory for forever. And so I knew it was going to be, that's like what I thought I was getting back into, is like really low budget, dumb, stupid, for children comedy. But the Spice Girls songs in and of themselves makes that movie really kind of fun to watch. And it's clear that they had fun making the movie. There's that sort of like meta self-referential thing that happens like during the credits. And that sort of let me know that they knew that they weren't trying to create a cinematic masterpiece. So I think for the reason that Jimmy said as well, like having gone through this whole season and then this was just a nice little treat at the end of the road. But I found myself actually enjoying watching it, no matter how stupid or convoluted the plot was, anything like that. And the songs slap. They really do. So Spice World was my sleeper hit for the season.
All right, Cynthia.
Well, thinking about them all, I actually changed some of my grades. I know we're not on that point now, but I never really knew much about Batman and Robin. So it never occurred to me until this shows up on our list, Kelly, way back when we started this kind of season of the worst movies. I don't know why it would have been the worst movie, you know, so I watched it, right? And it wasn't a great movie, but just sort of like the song, I kind of have to say it was surprisingly better than I thought it would be, especially given how bad the rest of them were. So, you know, at the end of it all, you can compare them and they kind of shift around. And that movie had great lighting and sets and was kind of creative, familiar characters. I mean, I don't have to defend it, but the plot was like intricate with all kinds of things happening with Poison Ivy and then the Mr. Freeze and then, you know, the Barbara that becomes Batgirl. And thinking back on it, I was like, well, you know, it's a pretty good movie. There was a lot going on. It was very well done, you know, the way it was shot and special effects worked well, you know. I mean, there's just no comparison between that and the movie I can't hate even possibly more than I do, which is Troll 2. But so I'm going to give Batman and Robin the best of the worst films.
So, but that's the one that surprised you as not being as bad as you thought it was going to be?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think so. At the time, in real time, it would have been Spice World like all of you. You know, because I didn't know anything about it. And when I watched it, it wasn't that bad. But it was only in retrospect, looking at all of them, that I realized, you know, I was unfair. I was unkind to Batman and Robin. You know, kind of upon review, I changed my mind about it and actually switched the grades.
All right. Daniel, how about you?
You know, I actually agree with Cynthia, and I'll put this on here. I was going to do this in final, but I'll save it because I'm looking at what movie surprised me the most. And I don't think that any of them surprised me is the first time I saw Batman and Robin, which was like before we redid it for this podcast. And I'm just like, this movie is so crazy. It's not good, but it's just like it's so insane. In ways that a major studio would never allow to happen today, because everything is so controlled. Because I watched it when I was marathoning Batman movies. And if you follow that up, the next one being Batman Begins, which is managed and controlled to within an inch of its life and very like does exactly what it's supposed to do. And especially in the age of when superhero movies have kind of lost their energy and become more and more just the same formulas, to see this as a superhero movie is just, you know, the lighting and set decoration is something. It's not, I mean, like the writing and acting is so bad, but it's, you can't hate that movie. It does what it does. So, and you know, I was surprised so much that I even joked about that we needed to talk about it in a podcast.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, my answer, and you know, Spice World is great, but like picking it and going into it, I already knew I would like it. So it didn't surprise me that it was not as bad, right? So the movie that surprised me the most for how much I enjoyed it was Anaconda, because I thought it was going to be so bad. And I actually was like into the movie, and yeah, there's silly things in it to laugh at, but like I really mostly enjoyed that viewing experience and would watch it again. So, and that doesn't necessarily mean I think that's the best of the worst on this list, but it's the one that surprised me the most as not being as bad as I thought it was going to be. All right. So now we're going to move on to podcast grades. And if you changed more than one, that's okay, but don't just change all of them, because then that sort of defeats the whole purpose of everything. But if you could change one of your podcast grades from the season, which one would it be and why? Byron.
Okay. Well, I think when we first started this thing, you always want to be a little conservative with your grades, because you don't know how you're going to grade everything else. So in retrospect, I gave Mortal Kombat Annihilation a D, when I really think that should be a B+. So that needs to get bumped up a little. And then my second sort of same thing is that I gave Anaconda a C, but really I think Anaconda should be an A. So I'm just going to leave it there for now. But those are my two adjustments to my scoring.
Wow, that's nice. A big bump for Anaconda. Well, I know. Both of them, to be honest. Maybe even bigger for Mortal Kombat.
You kind of get used to the rubric a little bit more as it goes on.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
And especially since we're going to end with ranking these, like, it's sort of like, well, I gave that one this, but this one I actually liked better and blah, blah, blah. But we'll get to that in a second. All right. Cynthia.
Okay. I changed my grade for Batman and Robin from... What did I have before, Kelly? I erased it. I mean, I scratched it up.
You had a C.
Oh, a C. Okay, so I would change it from a C to a B.
Were there any others, or is it just that one?
No, there were others. I turned, I changed Troll from a D to an F.
Okay. That's fair.
But I also moved up Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, because... I don't know, it kind of hung on my brain as, oh, that was so bad. It was funny. It was so great to talk about that movie and tear it apart. Mm. But there was this little endearing part of it to my mind. So I moved that from an F to a D-.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. All right. Daniel, how about you?
You know, I gave Mortal Kombat Annihilation a pretty high grade, because I had a lot of fun laughing at it, because it's a studio movie and not an independent movie. And I did have a good time, but that movie is like pretty much an abomination, and I'll move it down to like a D-.
D? Oh man.
He just,
brutal. I really,
Byron.
He gave,
I had to be brutal.
He gave it a B-, and he's changing it to a D-. Is that what you said?
Wow.
I really had like, it really is like, I had like an A time watching it, but it's like pretty bad for everyone involved, and I have to move it down to the D range.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah. If I could change one, that's it.
Okay. Jimmy, how about you?
All right. Well, yeah, you capitalized O-N-E one.
Yeah.
Which I felt like it was a personal. We happened to be listening to our Pixar recap in the car the other day. Just like, how did we do it? What was the formula? How did it go? Like, we didn't even listen to the whole thing. But when we got to a revision of the grades, I was like, this is that and that is this. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go for one. So I only picked one. And this time, I'm just going to change Mortal Kombat from a C+ to a B. I think I was a little harsh on it. Like Daniel said, it is very bad for being a big budget movie. Like a studio release is like embarrassing and awful for all those reasons. But when I was looking at all these movies and like looking at the relative rankings and like which one would I actually watch again, that's sort of the best sort of metric, I guess is the word. Like, I don't know, the best way I can think about how would I grade these. I do think I would watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation again, and I do think I would have a good time with it. So that's the one I felt like deserved a boost. I'm not going to overboost it, but I'm going to take it from C+ to B, which is like two half grades.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I was kind of like, is there more than one that I would change? And like, not really. And I same thing. I was like, I should just pick one. So the one all season that's been hanging on me for like, you know what? I actually fucking loved watching that movie and I can't wait to watch it again. Opposite of Cynthia is Troll 2. I gave it a C+, but I love how bad it is, and I give it an A for being like truly.
Let's go, Kelly.
Truly, like bad. I mean, maybe okay, I'm
giving them's are fighting words. Okay? Yeah. We're gonna play a drinking game. I'm gonna kick your ass just because you said that.
Ooh, boy.
Unbelievable. All right.
Oh my God, Troll 2, there's so many silly moments in the quotes, like to the point where, like, if I find out that there's like a fun screening of this movie somewhere, I want to go to it.
I
want to go see this with a bunch of people who love how bad this movie is. Like, and you got to watch that documentary about, like, something else that was fun about this season was like watching a bad movie and then watching like documentaries about it. They didn't all have it, but like at least a handful of them did. And like the documentary about this one, best worst movie on, and you can just watch it on YouTube, like really shed more light on it. And so, yes, I would change my Troll 2 C+ to an A. All right. So now we're going to just do our list from worst to best. So how I want to do this, so we don't take too much time, but we can kind of like talk a little bit more about the movies, is say your worst movie, like which one did you hate the most? And you can maybe talk about that a little bit, like your number 10, and then just quick rapid fire go, nine, eight, seven, six,
yeah.
Just kind of slay them. And then we'll move on to the next person. And then we'll talk more about our top five, movies from this.
So we're doing 10 through 6 around, and then like 5 through 1 around?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing? Okay.
So I'll go first to demonstrate, I guess. So the worst movie we watched, I watched all 10 of these, that I hated a lot and is honestly like so terrible, I can't believe this movie was made, and it's the only one that I actually gave an F to, is Birdemic. That movie is terrible. There's just everything. I mean, I'm not really going to go into all of it, but again, the sound design terrible, the acting terrible, the dialogue terrible, all the shots of cars for no reason. It takes forever. The terrible CGI birds. Like, I can't believe that those CGI birds exist and that guy thought that would be good. But anyways, my number 10 worst movie of the bunch, Birdemic, hands down. Coming in at number 9, Howard the Duck. Hated it, unfortunately. Wanted to like it. Terrible. Never want to watch that movie again either. Number 8, The Wicker Man. Also really bad. Worse than I remembered it being. And it's just a shame because the original Wicker Man is such a good movie. Number 7, unlike the boys here, Mortal Kombat Annihilation. pretty bad.
Wrong. Wrong. You're wrong.
I mean, I would watch it again, but it's just not going to be in my top 5. So number 7, Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And my number 6, not quite making it to the top 5, is Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. It's not a very good movie. It kind of took a while to do stuff, but it was cute and endearing. And it's a movie I would maybe just put on in the background while I'm decorating my Christmas tree, maybe in the future. So there's my 10 through 6. All right, I'm going to move on to Byron. Now, I know you didn't watch all 10. I think that's you missed 3. So maybe you could say the couple you didn't watch and then give us your like 8, 7, 6, or 7, 6, which whatever you got.
Okay, cool. So I didn't watch Birdemic, but I will still rank that as the worst. having not seen it, I can confidently say that is the worst movie on this list. Howard the Duck, didn't see it. Plan 9 from Outer Space, I actually did watch 3/4 of it, and then just sort of rage quit it. I was like, I can't watch this shit. I didn't do the podcast because it was late. You know, you can't do it all. So Plan 9 is, I guess, going to be number 8. I think of all the ones that I did watch, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians was my least favorite at number 7. Just whatever. Don't ever need to see that movie again. Stupid. For a different generation. But goodbye. For number 6, I have The Wicker Man. It's a really bad time. I think on our podcast, Daniel said it's a bad hang. And that's so true. It's so frenzied. And like the performances just like are off-putting. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. All of the design is terrible. So number 6 is The Wicker Man. Never need to see that again either.
Yeah, you seem to really hate that movie. You almost didn't finish that one either.
It's true.
All right, Cynthia, you can do kind of the same thing Byron did because you didn't watch all of them, but
Okay, well, the absolute worst movie, no surprise if you guys have been listening to this at all. I just despise, like, hate, like, fuck this film. I would be Troll 2. It's just so horrible. And Kelly, okay, maybe it'd be fun to go watch it at some drive-in, I guess. But, you know, don't sit near me.
I'll be over there. The next time we're together, we should put them.
Sitting there hitting my head against the car.
But I want to make you laugh at it. Anyway, go ahead.
Come on. When that kid pees on the food, it's so bad. The ghost of the grandpa.
So bad.
Okay.
So bad. Okay. I don't know how to rank Mortal Kombat, Plan 9, and Birdemic. So just, I guess I'll put them in my lowest 10, you know, yeah. I guess.
You're sure that you can't possibly hate them as much as Troll 2?
I don't know. I suppose I could watch them if I have nothing else to do. And then, like, of the ones that I did see, Howard the Duck would be the next worst movie for me. Yeah. And then you want us to go up to number 5, Kelly, or hold?
Let's say you're 7 and 6, which I guess would have been, because you missed 3. So I guess it would be Troll 2 and then
Howard the Duck. Right. Okay. And then I have my top 5.
Yeah. Okay. Funny, because she's confident that Troll 2 is 10. Even though
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. She didn't probably.
I can't imagine a worse one, but okay.
Love it.
Maybe to be fair.
Yeah, you for sure would hate Birdemic more, but I would not make you watch that movie. I would not make anyone watch that movie. Okay. So that brings us to Daniel next.
Okay. My number 10 on the bottom is The Wicker Man. I really hate The Wicker Man. I really, like, pun possibly intended, want to burn it. I really just, it just puts me in a bad mood. It's just such a, it's just so, like, dreary, and I really hate it on an extra level. I hate it so much that it's below Birdemic, which is number 9 for me, which, even though that is, like, barely can count as a movie and, like, impossible to watch. Here's the thing about Birdemic. Like, I don't hate that it exists. I don't hate that something like that exists, because it's bad in a way that makes you thankful for better movies, as opposed to bad in a way that makes you just hate everything in life, like The Wicker Man is. So, like, someone has, you know, there have to be bad movies. Someone has to die for the sins of cinema, and that's Birdemic. And in that respect, it moves up to 9th place. Number eight is Mortal Kombat Annihilation for me.
Fuck, man.
It is a bit. get out here, and I'm glad that Byron is defending it, but I just, like, it really is. I'm not gonna watch it again. I'd watch the first one again. Number 7 is Howard the Duck. It's, like, not even a good bad movie. It's just bad in mediocre ways with, like, 2 interesting scenes. You know, I actually, in the weeks since we did it, I actually have developed a theory about Howard the Duck on the arc of pop culture, because through the 70s and 80s is, like, the era of sleaze, and it's just an era that's full of a lot of gratuitous nudity in movies, because that it sold tickets at that time in a way it doesn't now. And by the mid 80s, it just gets to a place that there's just, like, random nudity thrown in movies, because, you know, studio executives are like, I see on the sheet that this is going to sell more tickets if you have some boobs in it, so put some boobs in it. And to an extent that, like, we lost track of why this is even selling. And I wonder if the duck boobs in Howard the Duck were the final straw where we as a society were like, what are we doing here? Maybe we need to reevaluate. And that at the time is the beginning of more family movies being made around that time, too. I just like coming up with cultural theories like that. Is that 6? Oh, I get to pick one more. 6, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Meh. Go, Kelly.
All right. Jimmy's next.
All right. Well, Daniel was reading my mind, or maybe read my list. Did I accidentally text you? I don't know. But no, not all of them. But Wicker Man is 10, bottom of the list. Very similar, just, like, doesn't give me any hearty chuckles, doesn't give me any respect for, wow, how did this get made or anything. And it butchers the original, which is a fucking great movie. So for all those reasons, you know, it gets a 10. And some of these movies that are ranked higher than it are definitely worse, you know, made worse, worse sound design. Well, I'll just skip to it. I put Birdemic right above it at 9. And like we've already commented on, Birdemic is like an anti... Well, it's, I don't know if anti-movie is maybe putting it on a it's just so terribly terrible, like in all the facets of movie making, acting, directing, sound design, editing, all of it. But The Wicker Man doesn't have any like facet, it doesn't fascinate me in the same way that Birdemic does. Birdemic, like Daniel kind of pointed out, again, like I'm just echoing him. Birdemic like points out like how well made even movies like The Wicker Man or Batman and Robin or Spice World are compared to this trash. So just the its like status as just being so bad, and like it makes us all realize what we take for granted in movie making, Birdemic. So for that reason, I give it a bump above Wicker Man. Going up from there, at number 8, I have Plan 9 from Outer Space, which was in a very tight race for me against Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Those are right in that same vein for me of like a very nostalgic, well, not nostalgic, but like a historical kind of movie from a time long past, like in this shitty movie where you can look back on it and be like, look at those sets, so ridiculous. How did this get made? And they both have that very low budget, very like hard to watch kind of thing. I get why Byron rage quitted it, Plan 9. But anyway, Santa Claus just ekes ahead from Plan 9 because it has that kind of Christmassy thing and the song. I really think the song is what gives it number 7 over 8. So Plan 9's at number 8. And then I go to Anaconda number 6. Anaconda, it was not my favorite viewing experience. I rated it pretty low, but it does have a lot of really fun things. The terrible, like, animatronic snake that apparently almost killed people on set. You know, John Voight's terrible accent. There's a lot of fun things there that I honestly kind of want to watch Anaconda again, just to revisit all of that. Anyway, so that's my 10 through 6. Wicker Man, Birdemic, Plan 9, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, and then Anaconda.
All right. All right, so now we're going to say our top 5, and we'll get to say which of these movies we enjoyed the most. So I'm going to go to Byron. What are your top 5?
Okay, so coming in at number 5 is Batman and Robin. And I think the reason for my ranking it at number 5 is due to my respect to the other Batman movies. This is such a terrible entry in the Batman cinema catalog. I knew it was going to be bad, but I was just shocked at how god awful that movie was. I didn't really even have fun watching it. I was watching it in disgust most of the time. Was it better than, you know, the other ones I listed? Yes, but it was still just abysmal in terms of how poorly they handled the characters. I think the best part about it is the Mr. Freeze one-liners, but that's not saying much. The costume design was stupid. The whole plot was dumb. I think it really stems from my love of the other Batman movies. So Batman and Robin, number 5. Number 4 was Troll 2. I really did have fun watching this movie. It was so outlandishly dumb and stupid, but there were moments when I was laughing out loud watching it. I think it was meant to be somewhat of a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I don't think they meant it to be as cult classic-y bad as it ended up being. But if someone put on Troll 2, I think I would at least sit there for part of it and go through it with them. So Troll 2, number 4. Number 3 was Spice World. I actually had a pretty good time watching that movie, as we talked about earlier. I don't think it was by any means, like I said earlier, a cinematic masterpiece, but I do think it was a really fun, engaging, and an enjoyable way to experience the Spice Girls songs, which speak for themselves. I mean, the songs are incredible. Number 2 is Mortal Kombat Annihilation. I do think that I will watch this movie again. I'm fairly certain of it. The fight scenes alone are well done. The special effects are god awful, but that's sort of why it made it onto this list. It's also not a good movie, but this is also my personal opinion. I have a deep love for the Mortal Kombat franchise, so seeing those characters in any shape or fashion is going to be enjoyable for me. So Mortal Kombat at number two. But number one is Anaconda. I think that Anaconda was like, quote unquote, the best made movie of this bunch. It's not good. It's a bad movie, but the production value, somehow some of the performances are still semi-redeemable. It was early in our list, but I remember thinking like, oh, this is going to be hard to beat. And it was. I don't think that any other bad movie on this list really shines a candle to the production value, to the overall plot of the movie. And I think that if I were more than likely, Jimmy said it earlier, you're trying to rank it and like, which movie would I watch again potentially? And I think that Anaconda sort of ranks the highest. I love creature horror. I love special effects. And although the snake at times is laughable, there's that really great scene of that dude in the snake's belly floating past the screen. And for that shot alone, it ranks pretty high. So Anaconda, number one, Mortal Kombat, a close second, and then Spice World coming in at number three.
All right. Nice. Good list. All right, Cynthia, what are your top five?
Coming in at number five, Wicker Man. Ugh, you guys have destroyed that movie here on this podcast in terms of why it's hateable. And, you know, so I would agree. Number four, not very far above it, but, you know, if you have to just the way our subjective minds work to rank them would be Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Because it's just, yeah, I know we should be kind to the fact that it was before all kinds of special effects and great strides were made in set design, costume design, and so forth. But just the script alone, this is not a good film. Higher than that is Anaconda. It did have some, it was suspenseful. You know, it wasn't too predictable. But it was just not well made, and I didn't like the acting. I didn't like John Voight or lead guy. Come on.
Owen Wilson? Drop. I don't know.
What's the lead guy in Anaconda? What's his name?
Oh, Cool J.
John Voight? Or
John Voight's really the...
Yeah, John Voight. Okay, anyway. But higher than Anaconda is Spice World, which I did enjoy. I had never seen it before. So I watched it for the first time. I didn't really want to turn it off. You know, I wanted to see what was going to happen. And I liked the kind of strong women theme in that movie. I liked the fact that they were a tight ensemble. I liked the music. So that would be that. But then my very best of the worst movie would be Batman and Robin. I really do think that as bad as the script might have been, it still introduced a lot of really interesting characters. And you guys have to forgive me, because if you were Batman and Robin aficionados and knew, maybe there were other stories that discussed, you know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Freeze character, or the Poison Ivy character, or what have you. But to me, I was being exposed to them for the first time. So I thought they were interesting. I liked Alfred in this movie. I liked the relationship there. I mean, the costumes were so kind of ridiculous, but still they were kind of cool. The fighting, the Batmobile, you know, there was a lot that I could say about it. The cast, just as a cast, look at the talent, right? That guy's name that played Robin, Chris O'Donnell and George Clooney, Uma Thurman, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Alicia Silverstone, they brought something to it. I think they did something with these kind of badly drawn characters. So I'm glad I saw it. I am. So there's my number one, Batman and Robin, the best of the worst.
Mm-hmm. All right. Daniel, how about you? Top five.
The top five. All right. After the ones I already said, number five is Anaconda for me. I don't defend Anaconda as much as the rest of you. I think it's pretty mid and pretty boring with like a couple extra scenes, honestly. And I was disappointed. I wanted it to be campier. Number four. You get to the ones that I actually wanted to fit. Number four is Plan 9 from Outer Space, which is a movie that, well, not good. I am prepared to defend it because while I was putting the spreadsheet together and doing chores yesterday, I decided to rewatch one of these. And the one that I rewatched while multitasking was Plan 9 from Outer Space. And like, it's just so defiantly proud of itself. Ed Wood's actors, they're out here and there's a real like, it's not the most graceful and well-dressed one at the party, but he's out, but there's just so like, there's a spirit there that is just not, that nothing's going to get it down. He's going to get his message out there about the nuclear arms race and stuff. And okay, like I do like mid-century sci-fi, even like the ripoff stuff. And so I know I might have a soft spot for it. And it's like history and the historical aspect is also something that bumps it up for me. I have to be honest. In fact, I think Ed Wood may have been like ahead of his time because he made that movie. That was kind of the end of the flying saucer craze, but right before sort of the re-rise of gothic horror like Vincent Price and stuff. So I have a softer spot for Plan 9 from Outer Space.
You're making me wish that I'd seen it, Daniel.
Was that the one that Byron fell asleep during and he was saying
I rage quit. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't care that it looks fake, you know, because like I can't at this age really suspend my disbelief for any movie. So it's all about what it represents. And the number three is Batman and Robin. I maintain that like it's bad, but it's entertaining to watch. It is like the pure definition of like it, the acting and writing is indefensible, but the lighting and production design, I mean, exactly like some of this, you know, the unnecessary song and dance numbers and motorcycle chases and Bane, you know, Christmas decorating the places with bombs, the ice puns. Don't say that you don't like the ice puns. You know, you do.
You know, you do.
So that's, you know, you do. And so that's as high as number three. Number two, I think what is actually the technically best movie that doesn't even belong in bad movie categories is Spice World, which I said I even gave a lower grade than some of you guys. But like you guys are right. It's just like, you know, a fun, absurdist time. It's like it's in the same genre as like A Hard Day's Night or Purple Rain or some of these other just like feature length extended music videos, basically. And it's like, yeah, it's got like Monty Python style humor in it. It's like, it's not the best version of that, but it's pretty good. And then, but it's still like, I can't call it the best of the worst because I don't even think it's the worst. The best of the worst, a movie that is truly ungradable. Truly, it's not actually good. It's not hateably bad. It's a complete alien species of its own is Troll 2. Like there's just something about it. It truly, especially after watching all of these movies that also have amateur acting and bad special effects. Like there's just something about it that is absolutely uncategorizable. And it is my submission. I think the greatest bad movie of all time.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Daniel. Jimmy is up next.
All right. Picking back up from number five, I'm actually putting Howard the Duck in my top five. Yeah, I know it's very bad, but again, hard for me to put my finger on it. Maybe it's the duck titties.
My God.
It's just the weird, like, decision to make this movie, the weird, like, way they were advertising it without revealing the duck. And then you see the duck.
Yeah.
And the actual. But It's actually kind of a good little costume for that stupid little duck. If you're going to go the practical costume route at that time, I mean, they spent a lot of fucking money on that. It's like, it's not too bad. The weird, like, awkward things with him having sex with the lead female character, not really having sex, but almost, is so cringy weird that it kind of... I don't know. I'm just like, that is so weird and bizarre. It's a plus on my end. Like, it's just like, so weird and like, what the fuck? That is so odd and just absurd and funny. And I like it. And then like the weird stop motion monster at the end. I mean, you know, there's a lot of terrible shit in that movie, but the song and everything, it makes my top five for all the reasons I mentioned and maybe some more. I don't know. Number four is Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Love that movie. Like Byron said, nostalgic. Just can't let that one go. Got to be in the top five. It's better than Howard the Duck. Just all around. More entertaining. Cooler fight scenes. But yeah, there's just so many bad things with it too. It doesn't quite make the top three. It's not truly bad enough to be like the best of the worst, literally, in my mind. But it's got to be up there. It's high ranking because I love it. It's nostalgic and all that. But number three, which makes the top three cutoff, is Spice World. Because Spice World, like everybody's already said, was actually not that bad. Had like, I think it's really aged well. It was probably worse at the time than it is now. In terms of its meta-ness and like not taking itself seriously. I think back then no one really had an appetite for that, but we kind of do now. And then all the music, you know, it like has aged incredibly well. The Spice World's Spice Girls music used to be kind of like overplayed and like kind of like annoying. And there's a lot of annoying fans of Spice Girls and all that. But now that that's all passed, it's like, oh yeah, these are actually really well produced and well written songs. Taking number two is Troll 2, because Troll 2 is like one of the best, worst movies ever made. Just like Daniel said, it had some weird quality that is just beyond, like Birdemic is just a very, very, very poorly made movie in like all of the ways. Troll 2 has some of that, but it also kind of has this weird, like mystical, magical quality of just like, this foreign director trying to guide these like young, inexperienced actors and
in America.
Yeah, but they're like kind of taking it seriously. This is supposed to be the sequel to the first Troll movie. Has nothing to do with trolls. It's just like this. I am struggling to put words to it. But like on top of that mystical quality that is just like arises from this weird blend of circumstances that created that movie is just like all the memorable little moments that are just so absurd that we could all call out, like when he's trying to move himself in the plant pot, you know, scooting himself and how awkward and funny that is, when the boy like pees all over the food, like when Nilbog is revealed to be goblin backwards, you know, they're gonna eat me too, oh my god. There's just like so many little moments in that movie that are just so funny and outrageous. I would watch that again for sure.
Oh, the popcorn scene. I just remembered the popcorn scene. The music when the witch seduces the kid in the trailer. Oh, that's...
They throw ham.
There's nothing else in cinema history like that.
Ham sandwiches. It's ridiculous. But it's just something else. Number one for me, I don't know how this happened, but I was looking at the list and I was just like, I think that's number one. I want to watch it again. I would watch it again. I enjoy watching it. It's also got the nostalgia factor is Batman and Robin. I didn't expect that going into this, but I'm just going to agree with my mom. You got the one-liners from Mr. Freeze. You got the like campiness, all the things that you can groan and laugh at how bad it is, but there's still like a very strong like actual entertainment value there. Being a fan of superheroes and comics and stuff, it obviously has that aspect. I understand Byron's like, but Batman is so cool and this is so shitty. Like it's doing like a terrible disservice to Batman as a character. Like that is fine and fair, and I hear that, but it doesn't sink that deeply with me, that like transgression. It's just like, yeah, but it's fun. And I don't know, I do think the nostalgia factor is really weighing heavily on this, but when I was looking at all of them and really thinking, but which one would you want to watch like tomorrow, for some reason Batman and Robin was sticking out. And I'm questioning whether it's the right call, but that got my number one best of the worst. Although Troll 2 is right there. Troll 2 is definitely worse, but I do think I would be more excited to watch Batman and Robin again.
All right. Well, my top five is very similar to Daniel's top five. Coming in at number five is Plan 9 from Outer Space. And this is as high as it is for me because of the documentaries about it and just Ed Wood as a director and his whole life story is so interesting. And we watched the movie Ed Wood, which is a very good movie, but it's not the same thing as Plan 9. But anyways, all that being said, I probably wouldn't have it as high as I do. But like Daniel said, there's something like, unlike Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, like the fact it's in black and white, and like so like independently made, and like the plastic gravestones and the carpet blackness of the graveyard and the ridiculous costumes and that what's her name Vampira is just in the background at all times. It's just I don't know, like I would totally watch that movie again, and there is just something endearing about it. So that's my number five. Coming in at number four is Batman and Robin. It is ridiculous, and it's so poorly made with the budget it had, and the costumes are dumb, and the stupid beginning where they're showing them their butts and the boobs and the costumes with the sound effects is so ridiculous. But like Uma Thurman, I really, really like as Poison Ivy in that movie, and I did really enjoy watching it, and it is probably one of the better ones on this list, but it's not one of my favorites, so it's not in my top three, so that's why I put it at number four. Coming in at number three, the big surprise of the season for me, one I really enjoyed, I gave it an A, and I stand by it, maybe an A-, but it's an A in the A range, is Anaconda. I actually don't think it's that bad. Like, there are some funny moments. It is somewhat suspenseful, like Cynthia said. The snake is really cool. They like blow up the snake at the end. And like, I don't know. I really enjoyed it and I would totally watch it again. So that's my number three. Number two, Spice World. And I totally agree with what Daniel said. This is like just good enough to not really be in the category of like truly bad movies, but it was on some lists and I just thought we should watch it this season. And I think we all really enjoyed it. And I would, again, totally watch it again. The songs and just watching the Spice Girls perform and sing is, like, just, like, the best part of that movie, really. The plot or the six plots, whatever, don't really make sense. And I don't really care about the story as much as I just like watching the Spice Girls be the Spice Girls. So, yeah, I'm really glad I got to relive that craze again. But coming in at number one, because if we're really going with what is the best of the worst, it's got to be Troll 2, you guys. Come on. Like, it's so bad, but it's so good how bad it is. And all the one-liners and weird little things. And like Jimmy said, like, just the fact this movie was made by this, like, Italian guy trying to, like, tell a story about Americans and this weird, like, vegetarian message he has in this movie. And the bologna sandwich and that witch lady is just like so fun to watch be a witch lady for some reason. Like, her acting is so bad, it's good to me. Like, there's something about it. Like, I can't stop watching her. Stupid teenagers. Oh my God. But Troll 2, I really have a soft spot for that movie. And I really feel like we should make it an annual Halloween time watch. Because yeah. I love it.
I'm wondering if I misunderstood the assignment. Because you guys are saying are you saying it's the worst movie? And so it wins as the best of the worst?
I'm not.
How the semantics could be confused?
No.
Or is it's it just, like,
yeah, you definitely understood the assignment. You put your favorite movie.
I was trying to find a way to redeem you and Daniel, but there's no hope.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
They enjoy, right? I mean,
yeah.
Of all these terrible movies that are all considered the worst,
yeah,
this was your
like it's bad. It's a really bad movie, Cynthia. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but
it's fine. I'm teasing you mainly.
It's good. Like,
I kind of can see why people will have fun, can have fun tearing it apart.
But honestly,
I'm watching it to do that.
where the kid gets up on the table and starts unbuttoning his pants, I was like, what the fuck is about to happen? Yeah. And then you find out he peed on everything. I was like, what is going on? And then the dad brings him upstairs. He's like, you see this? You know what this means? Hospitality.
Hospitality, yeah.
So it's so funny. I can't believe that.
It's so unique. It creates its own world.
There's nothing else like that.
Like,
it's insane. So anyways, that's my number one. But I wanted to crown the best of the worst. Daniel and I both put Troll 2 as number one. Cynthia and Jimmy both put Batman and Robin as number one. So looks like Byron's our tiebreaker here.
Oh, wow.
What did he have?
Mortal Kombat, right?
No, his was Anaconda. What was number two for you?
Mortal Kombat. So now I'm picking between Troll 2 and Batman and Robin, right?
Yeah,
I guess.
Ooh,
our tiebreaker. I wasn't really sure how we were going to crown it, but it sounds like this is the best way to do it.
Sure.
Okay. They're so vastly different in what they bring to the table.
Yes.
But since, you know, it's almost the cliche answer because there was a documentary specifically about this, but Troll 2 is the best worst movie. I mean, I hate to build the consensus upon an existing critique, but it is true. It is otherworldly how wacky, bizarre, and ultimately hilarious that movie is. If we're going strictly on entertainment value, Batman and Robin wins. But if we're talking about something so wretchedly terrible that it's actually somewhat enjoyable, it's Troll 2.
Yeah. I'm pleased. That was my number two.
I think the fact that Cynthia hates it so much almost gives it a point. Like,
yeah, that has to add to it. Yeah. Shout out to the documentary Best Worst Movie, by the way, which is one of the most raw, nerve hitting time capsules of the MySpace era that I think I've revisited. Yeah, Kelly knows.
That's a funny way to put it. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it really is. You're seeing all the like ironic t-shirts and flip phones people have. It's very like, oh yeah. If you want to know what 2007 was like, that anyway. Tangent.
All right. Well, I think that says it. Our best of the worst is Troll 2, with honorable mention to Batman and Robin, I guess we could say.
All right.
Yeah.
Any other like shout outs, memories, basic thoughts anyone wants to say before we wrap this up completely?
Oh, I was just curious, Kelly, as you kind of thought of this concept of us having a whole year spent on the best of the worst, do you think there's been any movies recently that would fall on this list, or did we not do something that maybe was also a very bad film? You know, I was just curious, like,
well, I
what else kind of got dropped?
Of the most modern ones, I almost put Morbius on our list, so we would have a more modern one. But when I was talking to some people about it, they were like, no, that movie's just bad. Like, you're not going to really
enjoy it. It's just boring.
It's just like boring and like bad.
It's just like, yeah. Like
so, and it's probably got a lot of the modern, like, cliche superhero stuff in it. Anyways, I still haven't seen Morbius, but so I almost put that one on there. So I think that kind of answers your question.
Not Cats. I hear that Cats is turning into a cult.
I heard that
thing of people hate, like, watching it.
The costumes and the weird, like, costume design and CGI is really bad and, like, uncomfortable to watch, but that, like, the singing and stuff is fine. But also, I think the thing about Cats is like people just don't get that it's not a story that should be in a movie. Like I've seen on our honeymoon cruise, we saw them do Cats and I actually really enjoyed it. Because it's really just like
a review.
Like it's really just like here's a scene, here's a scene, here's a scene. And there's like sort of an underlying story, but not really. And it's really just amazing to watch these people sing and dance like they do live on stage. And you can't.
That's a set of poems. A whole series of poems.
You can't put that in movie form. But like these people like singing and doing all these acrobatic dancing at the same time is so amazing to see on stage. But like in movie form, it doesn't compute. And I think that's part of the reason. But I also think people don't know that about the stage show. So like maybe I would enjoy the movie a little bit more because I enjoyed the stage show. Anyways, I don't want to keep talking about Cats, but that's what I've heard about it. I haven't seen it in the movie either.
I just want to say, when you all get the chance in your plethora of free time, rewatch Anaconda with Noah. Okay?
All right.
It's with a fun time.
Watch it
with about a fucking snake, a big ass motherfucking snake, a shit ton of big ass motherfucking snakes. Okay, right.
And not Jennifer enough Lopez though.
Got to kill them all, especially this one. I actually don't even know if it's one because it seems like it dies and then it comes back.
That is something I mentioned in the movie. Is like I thought this was just about one villainous snake, but there's actually a bunch of them.
Yeah. There's a shit ton of big motherfucking snakes in that river. Okay, and Jennifer Lopez is gonna kill them all.
Yeah,
so just. Give it another go. I'll leave it there.
Hey, Byron, I liked Anaconda a lot. I'm with you.
I think
I
was kind of like, oh, really?
I would say that top three seems like it's Troll 2, Batman, Robin, and Anaconda.
It seemed like there was so much bad movie tunnel ahead of us, and I was just like, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Like, here we go. Like,
you know what? It's the jungle is tough. I think sitting for 2 hours in the jungle, I think, gets tough.
Yeah.
It's also why I don't love Predator as much as some people. It's just tough to spend 2 hours in jungle where it's hard to get your bearings. I think that's the reason I didn't like Anaconda as much as you guys.
Also, Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Just give it another go. Okay?
All right. It has to be late at night and I have to be very tired and
maybe
with the aid of substances. I didn't have a bad time watching it.
Right.
But I just like when I sobered up the next morning, I was like, oh,
he was very positive about it on that episode. I remember more than the rest of us. I will say this about Mortal Kombat. We watched the first one first and did have some drinks and then watched it with some drinks. And I still kind of enjoyed watching it. But it's just like I don't have the Mortal Kombat like nostalgia like the rest of us do. And I think that's why you ranked it higher than me.
Yeah, no, that's 100% why. Yes, I'm in full. I couldn't rank it as number one because I was like, this is like pure bias coming on that ranking. But yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for sitting through the bad movies. I know it was hard for some of you, but shout out to Daniel and Jimmy and Ike for watching all 10 of these bad movies and doing it. And shout out for us for watching Birdemic twice. We rewatched it before we recorded. I've had enough Birdemic for the rest of my life.
It was tough. But, you know, I will still recommend that movie to people. Just like
just to see how bad it is.
Like a movie that is just so truly awful. Like it really is. Barely bad.
All right. Well, that wraps up season 2. Moving on to season 3. I had everyone submit 5 movies, 5 of their favorites, or just 5 movies they thought we should do for the podcast. And I put it in a spreadsheet. And I will say this, we've got our next like 3 seasons planned out at least. There's a lot of movies on this list.
Was there any overlap? Did anyone submit the same movie? You don't have to say what it is, but
I can reveal all of the lists.
I'm not going to reveal the list, but I
No, what? Don't.
Why?
Well, I will, because I haven't completed
maybe at a later time
the list, but I know for sure what we're doing for season 3.
Uh-oh, drum roll.
So for season 3,
a theme appeared.
It's going to be our favorites from the 90s. There were a lot of 90s picks. There were a lot of 90s picks.
Give me an example, because, you know, my brain, like, 90s.
No, I'm not going to do that. Wait till I give you the list.
Oh, okay.
But I will say that there was a couple of overlaps and they both were from the 90s. I guess I could just say what those are because we're for sure going to do those ones. So, and it's a movie I've never seen and your family will never stop talking about. So we're going to do Waiting for Guffman because. You and Cynthia both put that. And I know your family loves that movie and I've still never seen it. So that's going to be one. And Byron and I both picked the same movie, actually, which is Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Oh, that was almost on like the JV list. I was actually on the longer list. I was closer to picking Terminator 2, but I didn't. So.
So anyways, there's two teasers. But I will send the official 90s list and we're going to go in chronological order because that's what you do. So we're going to go from 1990 up to 1999.
That's what you do.
Sweet.
And, so for season 3, the 90s, and there's two movies for our listeners to get a head start on if you've never seen them or you want to rewatch them.
Do you have a more specific title than that? Like favorites of the, or just 90s movies?
Our favorites from the 90s.
Our favorites.
Our favorites from the 90s. Yeah, gotcha. It's going to be season 3.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for sticking with us through these bad movies. There's going to be really good movies coming from the 90s.
Yeah.
And we hope to see you sticking around for season 3. Happy Super Bowl. Happy Valentine's Day. And we will see you all in season 3.
Friday Flicks Podcast is a JK Entertainment production with original theme music by Jimmy Anthony. Please subscribe so you never miss an episode and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Friday Flicks Podcast for updates about future episodes. And please email us at jkentertainment247@gmail.com to contact us and let us know what you think. I'm your host, Kelly Anthony. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.